talk for today. Good advice I give myself is easy to give, more important to follow it. I can give myself a lot of good advice, and that's easy to do. It's easy to give myself good advice, but to follow it, that takes a whole nother ball of wax, a whole nother ball game. And Ellen, it takes a whole nother ball game, you know. So when you're sharing these good ideas with yourself always wants to go with you and remind you what you're talking about. You're saying, I'm a happy person. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And then someone calls up and says, your dog died. Oh, you feel so sad, you know. Instead of saying, wow, I hadn't expected that, but bye-bye, Bonzo. Have a good journey. Enjoy your next dimension. I guess it's time for me to get another dog. I don't want to be without a dog. And Ellen, when you were talking to your friend, good advice, you know, I give myself, it's easy to give, but more difficult to follow. You could have mentioned to the doctor more quickly that the woman whose husband was a fireman and died in the Twin Towers trying to rescue people, indeed was a hero. Yeah. But that was a year ago, and now the funeral is there. Now it's time for her to get on with her life and find another man, if that's her choice, and a husband, and then a father for her children, and to go on with her life, because obviously she must be quite a nice woman. But to go on with your life, to go on with your life, to go on with your life. See, this is the important thing. It's easy to give good advice to other people, but to follow the good advice we give to other people ourselves, it's kind of difficult. And it's easy to give good advice to ourselves, too. I should do this, I should do that, I should do the other thing, which is super, very silly. Don't ever say, I should do. Just say, that's nice, I do that. That's nice, I do that. I brush my teeth completely, up and down, inside my teeth and outside my teeth. I take dental floss and I use it on my teeth because I don't realize when my teeth are bad. If you're on a diet, for instance, like I am, I'm on a fast. And being on a fast, I don't eat anything. And who thinks that anything would get caught in your teeth? Because there's nothing in your mouth to get caught in your teeth except some lemonade juice and lemon juice and some maple syrup and some cayenne pepper and a lot of water. And that doesn't get caught in your mouth. But I was picking my teeth the other day, and I thought, my goodness sakes, look at all the stuff that I didn't realize. I brush my teeth every day. I give myself good advice. I tell other people, brush your teeth and floss your teeth and take care of them, and then your breath will smell kissing sweet, you know. And I didn't realize that my own breath, quite likely, might not have been too pleasant because I had all of that stuff that I didn't know got into my teeth because I thought I had to have food to put it stuck in my teeth. I took it out of my teeth and it was chunks like pieces of nuts, you know, like it'd be a nut that had been stuck in there or something. And I haven't been eating any nuts. I haven't eaten anything. And yet it builds up in there. We don't realize how important it is. We tell other people, brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. And if you can brush your teeth three times a day, that's beautiful. But brush your teeth at least once a day, seriously. And then you should floss. But we don't realize that when we believe what the dentist says, and he says floss, and we don't floss, that it really is quite important. It's quite important because things get in your teeth that you don't even know about. You may eat soup, just plain soup, for a couple days. And you'll be surprised what sort of things get caught in your teeth. It is sort of something that's created by your body in the digestion system and in the living system that sort of gathers there and becomes a tartar. It's not food that becomes tartar. It's something matted in your teeth that becomes a tartar. So we give ourselves this advice, but follow it. And I'm the first one to recognize that really is quite important. Quite important. What are some of the other things that we give ourselves good advice and it's hard to follow? Well, we give ourselves the good advice that we're going to be smiley all the time. We're going to have a happy countenance. We're going to be a Pollyanna all the time. We're going to have our attitude lifted up, and we're going to think positive thoughts and do positive actions and say positive things. And then Herb comes along and kicks us in the shins and knifes us in the back and says, hey, you're not so smart. You're not doing it right. You're not right. And what are you supposed to be saying when Herb says that? Here's the testing ground. You're not supposed to say, Herb, shut up. Herb, don't talk to me like that. You don't say that. What do you say? And I'll tell you. What you say to yourself is, thank you for reminding me. I always appreciate a good reminder. Thank you for telling me. That's very nice of you to bother to tell me to keep up my happy thoughts. Thank you. And poof! All of the argument is over with. All the discussion is over with. Now you see, we have, for ourselves, I know all of you, have decided you're going to be positive, say positive things, do positive things, live in a positive way, have a positive life. All of you said you're going to do that. And you're saying it again and again and again. You say it at the table, yeah, that's good, yeah, that's good. But to do it, to be positive under all circumstances, is not easy. Ingeborg, don't shake your head no. You should shake, you just sit there and say, I'm not sure that I'm going to listen to him saying that. It's good for me, it's easy for me. Whenever I think, you're shaking your head no again. Why are you shaking your head no? And I don't want you to tell me, but why are you shaking your head no? You should be listening to me and not judging what I'm saying until the end of my discussion or talk with you. And at the end of my talk, think anything you want about whatever I said and discard the whole thing or take part of it, whatever. But if you are making a judgment in the middle of my talk, or in the middle of, please, you're saying no, and that's a judgment. If you're making a judgment in the middle of anybody's talk, you don't really hear what they're saying because you've already determined how they're saying it. You either like it or you don't like it. And if you don't like it, you've turned yourself off. If you like it, you just are so happy you're not even hearing it anymore. You just, accept it, but you're not even hearing it. What you have to do is be a passive listener without emotions. A passive listener. When you're listening to your teacher, and your teacher is saying, 2 times 2 is 4, and 2 times 4 is 8, and 2 times 8 is 16, why? The little children, they'd ask, why? And could you tell them the answer why? Could you say, because? That's about the only thing you could do. But, you see, it's not a because. It's like this. You say, son, daughter, and my parents never told me this. No adult has ever told me this. But you could just say to your children or to yourself, listen, this is a big world. And it has a lot of activity in it. And people in the beginning of time decided they had to have numbers so they could count how many sheep they had. And so they picked up numbers and they said 1, 2, 3, and they counted their sheep. And they kept going, and they had to make up what the numbers were. Because a 1 didn't mean anything. You could have 7 sheep, and it would mean you had 1. And you could have 1 sheep, and it means you have 7. But they just gave names to the numbers. And that's just the way it is. And when they gave these names to the numbers, everybody said, hey, thank you. That's a good idea. We'll follow that. But they had to be informed about it. It was like a foreign language to them. People would come up to them and say, I'll give you 7 sheep for one of your daughters. And the man says, well, that's just fine, but I think I should have more than a sheep. Well, sir, 1 sheep is this. 2 sheep is this. 3 sheep is this. 4 sheep is this. 5 sheep is this. 6 sheep is this. 7 sheep is this. Would you like 2 daughters? You see, he didn't understand, and it was like a foreign language being taught to him, and he had to be learned in it. He had no need for it. He had no need for mathematics up to that point. He had 7 daughters, and perhaps he should have had mathematics, but he had no need for mathematics. But when this man came along wanting to give him 7 sheep, what? I'll take that and that and that and that and that and that and that. But no, that's 7. Who says it's 7? Well, I do. I made up a numbering system, and I've been spreading it around a little bit here and there. And here's how it works. get your kids to gather around, because this is the coming thing. You watch. This is the new millennium. This is the coming thing of mathematics, of what's mathematics, of the language of the stars. You see how many stars are up there? Did you ever think you could count them? There are, well, just no way to count them. There are no numbers. You know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, whatever. There's no numbers. And son, can you imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have numbers? And then numbers became complex. And we said, 2 and 2 is 4. We added them up. And then we said, 2 times 4 is 8. So we have 4 and a 4, and together they're 8. And that's 2 times 4. Or 4 plus 4 equals 8. Well, why don't we just say 4 plus 4 instead of 2 times 4? Well, because we're learning all sorts of wonderful ways to speed up our thinking. And the more we know about mathematics, the more brilliant we are in our mind, in our heart, in our soul, because mathematics is the essence of the universe. Mathematics is the essence of how the star system maintains itself. It is in a mathematical accord with itself. Music is pure mathematics. And everyone who is good at mathematics finds it's easy to be good at music, because music is just mathematical symbolism. And words are mathematics, but we don't talk about that too much because we don't want to confuse the thing. But an A is worth 1, a B is worth 2, a C is worth 3, and things like that. And when you have Bach, B-A-C-H, well, then you have a 2 plus a 3, plus a 1 plus a 3, and an H is A-B-C-D-E-F-G-H. So you have a 7, is it, I think? So your H is worth 7. So you add these all together, and that's your numerology. But what's numerology? Well, now, son, that's another story. We'll take that for another time. Now, did your parents or anybody that knew you ever talk to you like that to let you know what numbers were all about? Or they said, learn it, that's all there is to it, learn it. There's no discussion. And when you do that, then there's no curiosity either. This is what makes non-mathematicians, people who are told, learn it and do it, regardless. Well, this is what you do to yourself. You say things to yourself. And you give yourself a hard time. Now, what you could do is very easily say to yourself, mathematics, that would be interesting. I had a friend when I was in high school, and his name was Johnny Fleischner. Right now, he's head of some big multi-corporation in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that manufactures everything under the sun. And when we were in high school, he would come over and teach me the slide rule. The slide rule is a way to do mathematics simply. Now, learning the slide rule was itself quite a challenge. He just zipped through it. He was a mathematical genius. And his brother was a violinist, and he was excellent in mathematics too. And Johnny just would just boggle the minds of the teachers, because he knew everything before they knew it in mathematics. In other things, perhaps he was not exactly so top, but in math he was supreme, and I hung on to him, and he taught me a lot in math and made math very easy for me. But he explained it very simply and brought it down to earth so I could digest it and absorb it. And this is what we want to do for ourselves. Our thought is, good advice I give to myself, it's easy to give, more important it is to follow it. So here I am saying mathematics and explaining it so simply. Well, now, I like me. Yeah, I should like me. Yeah, I do like me. Yeah. What does it mean to like me? It means that I think nice thoughts about myself. I treat myself nicely. I do beautiful things. I'm a harmonious person. I'm working on my happiness zone all the time. I'm always building myself into a beautiful, wonderful, thoughtful being. Oh, what does happiness mean? I have a healthy body. I'm happy certainly when I have a healthy body. I'm happy when I have income, independent wealth, you know, that makes me happy too. And I'm happy when I'm surrounded by friends, by people who I enjoy and who tolerate me or enjoy me. Not tolerate, really enjoy. I create them enjoying me. So You see, we have to take time to talk with ourselves and explain to ourselves, why is it I'm so handsome? Well, you may only be handsome in your own eyes, Herb, so watch it, you know. Okay, well, that's a good start. I'm handsome in my own eyes. So I may not look like Don Juan or whoever looks good, but I may not look like that. But the thing is, if I let my charisma shine, who looks at my appearance? If I am a glorious, happy, wonderful, if I just won the sweepstakes and I come walking in the room and I say, hey, boy, let's do the world, this is wonderful. Well, what'd you do, just win the steep sweepstakes? Yeah, oh, you did? I know you. And so, you see, your attitude, it's just a matter of attitude. You can have the attitude of winning the sweepstakes. You can have the attitude of being great and walk into a room and your charisma will shine out. Nobody will see if you're naked or clothed. Nobody will see if you got good clothes, old clothes. If it's a tuxedo party, nobody will even notice if you're just not in a normal tuxedo. If you're just in shorts and shirt. Hey, look. It's a tuxedo party. Formal to the teeth. And so, President Bush comes walking in his shorts and his open sports shirt. Do you think anyone notices what he's wearing? It's the President of the United States. And everyone says, oh, hello, Mr. Bush. You know, hello, Mr. Bush. How are you, Mr. Bush? You know, and they don't even notice what he's wearing. They don't even think about it. After the event is over and he's left, they say, did you notice what Mr. Bush was wearing? You know, was he wearing a tuxedo too? I hadn't noticed. You don't notice his charisma, the dynamics of who he is, the magic of the way he carries himself and acts and conducts himself. People don't get to be president because they're good looking. They don't get to be president because they got good manners and good habits and things like that. They get to be president because they like themselves. So utterly, utterly liking themselves. They think they're so wonderful, they're so fantastic, the whole world loves them. That's all they can consider themselves loving. And people will vote for them because they would vote for themselves. Now, would you vote for yourself? You say, yeah. Well, you would not. You would not. I think anyone who chooses to be the President of the United States or some other big office like that in any nation is an idiot. You're not being yourself and having fun. You're playing the game for others. But there are those who can be themselves and have fun. And those people don't care. They do what they're a politician. Their life is politics. Their life is statesmanship. Their life is this. That's what they love. That's what being fun and being themselves is. And so as they take these higher offices, they just continue being themselves. Jimmy Carter was president, he was a laid-back president. He's a southern gentleman. And he just had a ball. He had a ball. He was a contrary president. He was a Baptist. And he was all sorts of things that presidents had never been. And then when Kennedy became president, he was a Catholic. A Catholic president, you know? Of all human beings that were president in the United States, they didn't want a Catholic because then the Pope would be running the United States. You know, that's what people were saying who were opposed to them. Well, Kennedy got elected and he got, you know, put right in. And his brother would have been elected too if they didn't shoot him too. But you see, life's like that. Papa had planned for all of his boys to be president. John, I think there was the first boy who died in service or something. That's who Papa Kennedy wanted first. But they had charisma. They had class. They had magic about themselves. And they could be so casual in a formal, beautiful way. Now, you could just like yourself. You just tell yourself, I like yourself. And when you do this, then the magic of your charisma will direct you to be a success in following it. Because if you like yourself, like Jack Kennedy did, and he was just a magic guy, he had a lot of bad habits, but yeah, he was just a nice guy, he liked himself, and the people loved him. and Jackie Kennedy, his wife. She was a Miss Pinot. She ran the White House and made it beautiful and brought everything to it. And she was a duchess. She was a royalty. She really shouldn't have been born in the United States. She should have been born the daughter of a queen. So she was more like a princess than a queen. But she was great. And the country loved her. Loved her to pieces because she represented class. She represented youth. She represented magic the same way Jack did. And this is what you and I can represent of ourselves. They didn't represent it by accident. They knew what they were doing. They were class. They did enjoy themselves. They loved themselves. And you do too. And I do too. So when I say good advice I give myself is easy to give, more important is to follow it. Are you ready to follow the good advice that you give to yourself? Are you ready to give yourself good advice and live it and enjoy it and find happiness in it? Because you can. And no one can take it away from you. No one can tell you that it's not for you. No one can say that you don't deserve it. Everyone can only say, go for it. Go for it. Be your best. Be your highest and best. This boy was rolling along in his chair. And he was in a marathon. A marathon of crippled people. People who had the inability to walk. They had no legs. The inability to do many things. And they were perhaps, I don't know if any Mongoloids got in there, but they were mentally retarded in some ways. But they got in there, and you had to steer them in the right way to go to the right point. But they were in the race. They participated. I was in the marathon at New York City from so forth to so forth. And what a thing to tell their grandchildren if they ever have. What a thing to tell their world. And to roll their wheelchair. To take their crutches. To do whatever had to be done to win the race, with wooden legs, with wooden arms, with wooden head, no, with these wonderful things. Wouldn't it be something if we could be wooden all over it? But great. And this is the magic. And did you applaud the winner who was drooling and who was incontinent and other lovely things? Did you applaud him because of his lack of control of his body? Or did you applaud him because of the marvelous attitude of his mind, of the winner? He chose to go through this regardless. I could do it. And it wasn't a fast race, but it was a race of sincere people showing that regardless of whether they weren't quite what people call normal, they still had heart and soul within them. They still had desire. They still had objectivity. And we love them for it. We love them for it, even though we sense a little sadness. But we love them for it. And we should only sense gladness. And it's the same with us. If they can run a race, if they can run a race, and if they can accomplish the goal of saying, I came in 50th, 100th, out of 300, I came in 20th. Wow. You would hug them to pieces because you tried. You felt that you could be your best, and you were your best. So let each of us now be our best and just have a ball and live our life in a dynamic, forceful, wonderful way. It's always fun to talk to you because you're so receptive and so open and so non-judgmental, listening to every word and receptive of it, and then perhaps deciding later whether everything made sense to you. But pretty much, I kind of think it does. I love you very much.